update it.
Councilman Cartier and Councilman Retta. I'm Councilwoman Lisa Diller and my aide, Sue Moore. First, we'd like to review and approve the minutes from April 22nd.
Motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I'd like to thank Councilman Tackett for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. Is Mr. Jameson here?
He is.
Mr. Jameson, please feel free to come on down and give us an update on what you're doing with Powell. Have a seat there.
Is this a hot seat?
No.
Could be. Good afternoon. Bob Jameson, Executive Director for Police Athletic League of Delaware. I'd like to introduce a couple of people before I got started. I got the chairman of our board, Mike Conley. Mike's a retired state police captain and a small businessman. And Ed Pankowski, he's an attorney. He's our secretary. I keep messing that up. I called him the treasurer the other day and he wanted the books. And Bill Harden, a retired lieutenant in the county, he's managing a grant for us. And since we lost our grant writer to the county for employment, I'm going to try to get Bill to start taking over our grant writing. He's really, really good. On behalf of Powell, Board of Directors, staff, and the children we serve, I'd like to thank the council for their support of the Police Athletic League of Delaware. When I took over as executive director 2 years ago, the board of directors set two goals. One was to return the PAL to financial stability. Number two, increase our outreach in the communities. I think we've been successful in both of these endeavors. The PAL has all of its bills paid and we have cash on hand. As of this morning, about 9 o'clock, we had $120,000 in the cash reserve account and $99,000 in checking. Now the checking fluctuates, but we kind of hang right around that number. I'd like to briefly discuss PAL's revenue because I got a lot of questions about fundraising. You know, PAL has three main sources of revenue. Rentals, and we do a lot of rental business. We make a lot of money from rentals. Grants and fundraisers. Our rentals have increased, especially at our Hocessin facility. Garfield Park, which was down to virtually no rentals at all, is now being rented again. We're starting to make money over there, too. Excuse me, I have my glasses, so I'm kind of struggling here. Grant activity, which has dropped off. My first year with PAL, we had a grant with the Criminal Justice Council. It was a three-year grant, and it had run out, so you couldn't reapply for it. And then with the federal budget impasse or whatever it was, a lot of the federal grant money just stopped. You couldn't get it. Well, that's kind of opened up now, and we are getting federal grants for our PALdemics program, and we're getting a Merck and Logan grant for tobacco-free for the kids. We get grant and aid from the state. We used to get about $70,000. I got $183,600 last year. I hope we get the same this year. I don't know if we're going to get cut with the way the budget is. But try to keep it at that level. And the other thing is the SAFE grant we have, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Our fundraising efforts continue with the middle school dances. Thanks, buddy. Which have, for some reason, dropped. That used to be a gold mine for us, but the dances are down this year. One of the reasons we think is the Red Clay School District gave their middle schools permission to have dances, and that really hurts. But we're going to do some things and try and get the kids back, but we're still having them and we make a little money. We've had two golf tournaments. We just had one Monday that was very successful. And we have a 5K race now up in Hocessin that's becoming very popular. Each of the events and the numbers are going up, so we're going in the right direction. All these sources of income are important, and we monitor them and seek to improve in each area. As for outreach in the communities, PAL is committing to opening our facilities more hours for use by our youth. Formerly, when I started, we were just Monday through Friday after school. And nothing on the weekends, nothing at night. It was mostly adult activities going into our PAL centers. And we're changing that. We're going to start staying open later, come next school session, 8 o'clock. We're going to be running leagues later at night. And we're opening up on the weekends when we can. You know, there's some financial cost to do that. But we have an open basketball night on Saturday nights when it's not rented up in Hockessin. We have a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon at Garfield Park. And we just want to get the kids in there, get in there and use those facilities. The SAVE grant, which I mentioned, that's a grant we got from the state. That started with the police department. They had an $18,000 mini grant last fall. It was developed by the community service officers that are assigned to PAL, along with Brother Harden. And it went well. The idea was the colonel wanted to get these kids, like at Stanton Middle School and similar schools that live in that Kirkwood Highway, Merlin Avenue, but don't currently come to PAL, and get them there. And that's a transportation issue for the most part. So under this grant, we were getting the kids to PAL and then getting them a ride home. And that was challenging, but it was a successful grant. So we then applied for a bigger grant. And there was 44 grant applications in the state, and 12 agencies were awarded grants, including the PAL. We did a joint grant with Wilmington, and then the money was later separated between the two of us, but it was a joint application. And we're doing a lot of joint things with the other PAL here, including our new basketball league. But so we got $132,000 for the first 6 months of this year, and hopefully we're going to get $260,000 come July. What is SAVE? It's basically a suicide and violence education program. It's funded by, and I got to give you this tagline, it's one of the requirements of the grant, Division of Prevention and Behavioral Health Services of the Delaware Children's Department, administered by the Delaware Criminal Justice Council. What happened was the governor committed a couple million dollars for after-school programs for kids a couple years ago, and that's what this money's from. The grants used to administer the program, and it brings kids in at least 3 days a week for homework assistance, prevention training, athletic activities, healthy meals, or healthy snacks. Also at PAL, we now offer programs at our new Delaware City location. It's the old elementary school in Delaware City, if you're familiar. That we really did that just. We got it for free. We had about $50,000, I think we budgeted for it. And we didn't partner with the school district because we didn't know if we could handle that many kids. And now I think we have 140 members down there. We run about 25 to 40 kids a day. So I know if we open it up to the school district, we'd have a lot more. Because at our other facilities, the school districts drop kids specifically off for PAL programs. But it's going good. And then with this grant money, we got the kids new computers, have two people down there, hopefully going to go to three, and that's going well. The other program we started running was at Ab Jones, and that's in cooperation with community services. We're over there a couple nights a week. There's a real need in that community for youth activities. Hopefully we're going to apply for another stream of money that's just come available in the last couple of weeks. And I'd like to get into that Ab Jones Center 5 days a week if we can get this grant funding going. So what we're looking at is communities in Newcastle County and in the state that don't have comparable programs. So, I mean, people ask us about Claremont. Well, Claremont got a Boys and Girls Club. We're looking at bringing one here, but we're looking at Edgemore because I don't think there's any comparable programs in that area. And that's actually where we started at the Edgemore Community Center. But we have to be cognizant of our fiscal limits when we do these expansion programs, and that's what we're doing. The Battle of Delaware has a great working relationship with the police division, community services, and other county departments. I look forward to this ongoing partnership between Powell and Newcastle County. In closing, I would request that council members support the ordinance brought before you. I would be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
I would just like a housekeeping detail. We've been joined by council members Smiley, Bell, and Street. I'll go to questions, and I see Councilman Smiley had his hand up.
Yeah.
You still have a satellite facility down originally? You have one operating out of a trailer?
No.
Not there anymore? It was there. Did have one.
It was with the police department down there. What happened was, one of the things the auditor was concerned with when I became executive director, was there are a lot of people out there using our tax ID number and raising money. One of them was Smyrnus, and myself and the chairman that at the time went down and met with the chief of police. They have a basketball strictly program, a good program. At one time, the PAL was paying for the coach's salary. It's kind of a bizarre relationship. That $4,000 was going to this guy to coach these kids, and they were operating under our insurance. But nobody knew that.
But it wasn't actually part of it.
Right.
Okay.
So we said, you have two options. Once we verified that they weren't using our tax ID, and we got the number, but we're never able to track down whose number it is. We said, you have two options. You can give us, and they had money. They had about $21,000 in a checking account. I said, give us the money, come in, and we'll put it on a line item for you. You know, we won't use it, you know, for us. But you got to come under our umbrella, or we can't support you. And that's where he said, okay, we'll get back to you. And that was a year and a half ago. Now, they do have a new chief of police going to be hired in the near future, and myself and some of the board are going to have, and you know, make another approach to see if they want to come in with us or not. But they got to do it under our standards.
But they're no longer operating as a PAL affiliate.
Yeah, we don't send them a dime. They're not covered by our insurance.
Okay.
Any further questions? Mr. Street.
Madam Chair, I would like to ask for a little time just to give an overview and some concerns about the PAL Center that I have. I have a PowerPoint, and Nisi's going to bring some copies. It'll probably take them 1 to 5 minutes.
Sure, why not?
Okay. I know I'll be accused of mixing apples and oranges here, but as you're aware from the Finance Committee meeting agenda, I did propose to give PAL, the Garfield PAL specifically, additional money in the amount of $650,000. And the sole purpose of that is to address what I think is an extraordinary need as relates to the community directly served by this particular PAL center. And just to give you an overview, Mr. Bull, could you go to the next one? If I put in the address for the Garfield PAL and the Holcasson PAL, the Garfield PAL is served by Colonial School District, the Holcasson PAL is served by the Red Clay School District. You see, in terms of the profile, the low income percentage of children in Colonial, which Garfield serves, is 68.9%, as compared to 53%. And the non-public school students, those who don't either attend charter schools or private schools, in Red Clay is 21%, and Colonial is 13%. Next slide, please, Mr. Board. End of the day, I'm concerned about outcomes and where our kids are. And if you look at reading scores and the comparison is there, and I want to go through the schools. If you put in the address in Colonial for where the Garfield PAL is actually located, and you put in the address where the Holcasson PAL is actually located, the schools here in this report are the feeder schools for both centers. in Red Clay's Marlbrook, and Brandywine Springs, and Colonial's Eisenberg. Fifth grade in reading, to your right, 63% of the kids at Marlbrook meet the standard in reading in fifth grade. 93% of the kids at Brandywine Springs meet the standard in reading. 52% of the kids in Eisenberg meet the standard in reading. We go to the next page, which is math. And I'm going to limit my comments right now for, in the interest of time, for elementary and middle. The fifth grade students meeting the standard in math, to your right at Brandywine Springs, is 88.4%. At Eisenberg, it's 46.7%. This is fifth grade. So in fifth grade, over 50% of the kids in fifth grade are not meeting the standard in reading. At McCullough, which is middle school, 43.7% are meeting the standard in math, and which means that over 50% of them in fifth grade are not meeting the standard. The next page is science, and that speaks for itself. 34% of the kids in eighth grade at McCullough meeting the standard in science, which means over 60% of the kids are not meeting standard. This is the driving force in what I'm concerned about. Go to the next page in discipline, where sticks out like a sore thumb at the bottom of the page is, to me there's no justification for, at a middle school, 42.1 of the students suspended at least once during the school year. So you talk about level the playing field, you gotta have a field to play on before you can level. These kids are destined for failure before they come out of the blocks. In terms of what's actually happened, the Neighborhood School Act has created a situation wherein children from the city of Wilmington, Councilman Holland's district, are bused out of the city for 13 years. They ride past schools in Colonial. I'm not talking about what happened in 1950. This is what happened this morning. And they're bused, the low-income area of the city is bused to the lowest income area of the county. And so now you have these high-poverty schools that are in dire need of services. At the point where Eisenberg is 81% low-income, McCullough 66.3% low-income, there are no additional resources. The only hope these kids have is PAL and then the services that we provide. The contributing factors, you go to the next page, please, Mr. Bull. Basically, the page after that. Basically, over the last 30 years, the community's infrastructure has been destroyed with the closing of Dunley School, Rose Hill School, Minkwoodale School, the conversion of Delaware High School into an elementary school, is now middle school. You destroyed the infrastructure. You created these high poverty schools through the Neighborhood School Act. And then the only thing that left is left in terms of hope out is the PAL Center. So I got angry, and I'm still angry at the fact that sat here on May the 13th, there's been no discussion with me about the funding, continuation of funding for PAL. And there's all these little secret questions going back and forth from who and where. Well, in the absence of a PAL, what do these kids have? So I set out and I put $500,000 on the table for programmatic services, $150,000 for a development director, because if we don't do something about this, then who will? If you ain't part of the solution, then you're part of the problem. And I'm sick and tired of, over the last 2.5 years, folks sitting around playing political football with this agency and the children that it served. There's no question in my mind, 2.5 years ago, the former president set out on a seek and destroy mission. Defund PAL. Well, what's changed in 2.5 years? And why is it that nobody's having a conversation with me? I'm not included in these discussions, but here again, 2 years later, there's money on the table for PAL for the continuation of funding, but now it's tabled. So, the motion that was made to table it. I opposed it. Only way I can have some discussion about it and at least let my concerns be known. If my amendment fails for a second, I don't care. At least I put the information out there. I've shown why. And it's the will of council be the will of council. But there's precedent for it. We put in $500,000 for Kingswood. And this ongoing situation where Powell continue has to fight for money. Number one, I consider $500,000 to be seed money, bailout money, and then you put a development director in place who has for the sole purpose of raising and generating money for the agency. So, Madam Chair, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to present my concerns, but I cannot continue to sit here and just let folks, as again, I'm going to use the words, play political football. But basically the only remaining infrastructure in the community and not say anything and not do anything. And it's my understanding the concern was raised as to why just Garfield Powell as opposed to Hocussin. Well, I was the only one that opposed the motion to table, and certainly the councilwoman who represents that area, she can put in whatever she wants for the Hocussin pal. I'm not against that, but my responsibility is to my pal. And I'm not under any illusion that $500,000 is going to make this magically disappear. But at least give those kids who want to do the right thing, who want to be involved in the right thing, give them an opportunity to at least participate in some things, stay out of trouble, and get all the education that outside education, access to outside educational activities that they can. And I love what you said in your presentation in terms of the after school activities that you're doing, but we don't fund them, who is? Thank you.
Mr. Smiley?
Yeah, I just want to clarify for the record, and I thought I was clear 2 weeks ago on the PAL legislation. So I'm just going to say it again. My concern has nothing to do with the funding today. Didn't have anything to do with the funding that day. My concern is the sentence in the legislation that says at the end of that contract that we're going to approve, barring another contract, the operational circumstances revert back to the original contract. And no one can tell me what the original contract is. I don't want to vote on a contract that will help the PAL Center today or for the next 3 or 4 years. And then if whoever the county executive is, they can't reach an agreement, they end up back operating on $1987 dollars. That's my only concern. I raised that concern, and that remains my concern today. That gets clears up. The funding's not the issue for me. The issue is, what are we sending the PAL Center back to? Because that legislation doesn't tell me. And that was my concern. That sentence not being there, or language that said failure to achieve a new contract at the expiration of this contract would continue on a year-to-year basis, I'm comfortable with. But going back to something that I don't know, what's the original? The original is the very first contract. Hell, you might be paying the county. I don't know without seeing it. And that's my concern, was that one sentence in that piece of legislation that was an unknown, and that remains today.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. And I would like to kind of tag on to Councilman Smiley. I mean, this is the thing that rang a bell, and as Bob was leaving last week, we talked about this, that the original contract as it was written was very, very dated, and there have been one, maybe two contracts since then, none of them that did PAL any real good. And so what does original mean? And I asked him that he make very, very clear what he would be reverting to, because we could be causing them much more damage than what they have ever seen before. I mean, I would like to see it, at this point, see it say that if they can't come to any agreement on another contract, that this one stays in place until they come to that point. My other issue is that when this PAL was built and I was intimately involved with the Hokesson PAL, with the second PAL that was built. We very purposely made sure that the Garfield PAL and this PAL were connected, that they were one entity. There were other PALs being built in the area at that time. Purposely, they did not hook all of them together. These two were very definitely placed together. So the fact that we would be asking for this much money for one of them without specifying programs, I think, is unprecedented. Through the state at one point, when they had money that reverted back into the bond bill, legislators were allowed to pick and choose where they wanted that money to go. At that point, I do remember that Representative Oberle had $100,000 that he transferred from that fund over to the Garfield PAL, but it was for a boxing program. So essentially, the state paid for something very specific. If I thought that there were very specific things that this money would be going to in the way of programming, I would feel much more comfortable. I don't want to vote against giving money to PAL, but I also have heartburn about dropping $650,000 into something as general as has been specified.
Mr. Street.
Well, I understand the concerns, and I think that the concern is legitimate, and my emphasis would be on educational activities, educational enhancement activities, cultural enrichment activities. Quite frankly, I just wanted to make the money available, and I think that's an administrative problem. None of this can go forward. We can approve the money, but as I understand the rules and procedures, nothing would be final until it was administered in the form of a contract with the administration, and I think the administration should be charged with the responsibility of working those details out and bringing it back to us in contractual form before it goes forward. But obviously, I'm concerned more so than anything else about the clear need for educational enhancement activities in the area. And again, if it doesn't come from there, where's it going to come from?
Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At the last meeting we had a couple of weeks ago, it was agreed to by a majority of council members that we would send questions in to be asked. You did send in a number of questions. I did send in one question on May 21st from the meeting we had earlier. I listened to other council members, and the only question I asked is that I would like to review the original contract that we will be reverting back to, and that's mm-hmm. what I've heard from a couple of council members here today. So far, it hasn't been answered. We keep moving. I would like to get an answer. If there is no answer, then there's no answer. But I don't want us to ignore legitimate concerns that people have regarding PAL's future.
Do we have an answer on the original contract?
Yeah, the question is added to.
Okay, but
yeah, the question was added to the questions that Councilwoman Diller said, and I just said that I added to those questions that I had the one question. And if we don't know, we don't know. But I just don't want us to sit here and ignore it and not respond to the question.
And I think if we don't resolve it today, it's certainly something that needs to stay on the table because, you know, somewhere we've got to have some of those older files. I mean, that original contract, I can't believe, isn't somewhere. Yes, Mr. Smiley.
Well, if I could finish.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It wouldn't be an issue, I don't think, if it wasn't written there. Mm-hmm. It's there for a reason. Well,
right.
Who put it there and why? So if we're going to go back to the original contract, whatever that is, someone mentioned that in the document. So we need to know what it is, or we don't know what it is.
Mr. Smiley.
And my point is this. I don't want the legislation to lay dormant on the table. I understand its importance. It's an administration piece of legislation. Either let's produce the document, or let's amend the legislation on the floor to remove that sentence out of the contract, put additional language in that allows that contract to move forward year to year. I don't think it affects the title. And let's move it.
Right.
That's my suggestion.
Ms. Hanson.
Sophia Hanson, Community Services General Manager. I did receive the question for the original contract from Councilmember Hollins, and I did provide a copy of that to you and everybody on the email chain.
Okay, well, great.
My apologies.
I see it right here, Sophia. Thank you.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I know the council people did talk to me after the last meeting that I was at, and I agree with them. And I did have some discussion with the community services about that. I mean, to me, the way you word it is, at the expiration of the contract, they'll renegotiate a new one, barring any rapid resolution that the existing contract would continue, just like a labor contract. Labor contract expires, they come to an agreement, continue the same contract until that issue is resolved. I think that would be a better way of doing it. I agree with that. Right?
Councilwoman Kilpatrick? And then Councilwoman... Okay. Oh, okay. We're joined by Councilman Powers.
In the original agreement that probably most of us at this table are thinking about is the agreements that we've discussed over the years with the HOCES and PAL. I'm not sure that there is an original agreement with the combination of the PALs, that you may have a separate agreement with Garfield PAL than you do with HOCES and PAL regarding the upkeep, the maintenance of those buildings, because the land is, the land, the building where the money came from to build the buildings is different with each one. So I think that's something that needs to be looked at, that we either keep it separate and note that there are separate ones, or we somehow come to some conclusion where we combine the two of them so that you have, or we put it at least into one agreement so that you have a working agreement.
She's making copies. Well, there are two agreements, and we're getting copies made of those two that I did have and overlooked it. So they'll be coming forward. I do plan to move forward with the legislation. I mean, this is no attempt to delay PAL whatsoever, to deny PAL whatsoever.
Correct, and I never thought it was.
But to be clear about what we're getting into with PAL. The only other issue I'd raise earlier is that there is a $500,000 grant that will be coming to the PALs. The efforts of a contractor with Newcastle County. And it was discussed here briefly, but I believe that's going to be shared with three PALs, that $500,000.
Yes.
So that comes into play in terms of funding for the PALs going forward.
It's not $500,000. I wish it was.
not to just one PAL. I think the city will get.
Yeah, the city
was presented to us as.
Yeah, it was 400. I went to the grant thing when the governor gave us the announcement. It was PAL of Delaware and the city of Wilmington PAL got like 420,000.
Our specific share is 132.
Yeah, for this 6 months.
Correct.
So. Like I said, one of our goals is to integrate PAL, Wilmington, and a lot of our programs, and some of the other youth programs in Wilmington. We're going to have a new United Basketball League. And our kids from HOCES are going to go to Garfield, the kids from there are going to go to Wilmington. And those are the kind of things that we envision for the future. So that's why we did this joint grant application. And then once we got down to the nuts and bolts of it, they said it was too much of an administrative headache, so they took Wilmington's piece of that pie and carved it out. So the money doesn't go through us to them, it goes directly to them. So our end amount was the lieutenant said it was
132,000
for the first 6 months, and then if it gets approved again in July, it's
264 for a year.
264. So.
Before you say anything, Mr. Street, I just want to make it clear that after the last meeting when we discussed the PAL legislation, I said to Mr. Jamieson, it would be really great if you would come and give us an update on PAL. And he said, well, what do you want to know? And it was that discussion that led to these questions. And I'll read you the questions, and he's answered the questions. What types of new fundraisers have you undertaken in the past 2 years? Who coordinates PAL fundraising activities? Who are the members of the board of directors? What is the board's role in fundraising? Has PAL instituted any new programs to help students with academic achievement? What do the director and board see as PAL's future direction? I mean, that those were the questions, plus Councilman Hollins. It was, he had said, what do you want to know? And that's, those were the questions to help him shape the presentation. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. And I just want to say that over the years that I've been here and the discussions we've had on PAL and with PAL boards and administration, I mean, we seem to be in a much, much better place at this point. I'm comfortable that PAL organization is moving forward, that it's doing what it's supposed to do, that they're raising money, that they're not constantly looking for a bailout or a handout, whatever we want to call it. I mean, I am very comfortable that you guys are moving in a very positive direction. And I certainly, even though, you know, the one sentence in there gave me heartburn, if we can resolve that, I mean, I have certainly no problem in voting for this piece of legislation. That's not the point now. It was never the point. I think that we've made tremendous progress in the past couple of years.
Yeah, we said to Mr. Jameson after the meeting, please feel free to come and give us updates. I mean, this is an invitation to be at the table and tell us what you're doing. I don't think there's anybody who feels a sense of antagonism about this. It's just that, you know, there had been a gap in the information that we had been receiving, and we just thought of this as a way to restart the conversation. So we thank you for coming. It sounds like things are, you know, you're moving along on things. It's exciting to hear about the grants, and I really appreciate you taking the time. And your board members, I know you're busy. Yes, Councilman Sheldon.
I guess the final before Mr. Jameson leaves, do you feel as though the funding from what we're voting for is enough, is adequate enough with your state bond? I know, that's a dumb question, but I gotta ask. You can say we're in survival mode. I mean, you're able to perform your duties.
Put my lobby
as is.
Fully support the legislation as before the council.
Okay, so the answer is a good yes. Okay.
Councilman Street.
Well, you know, what I'm hearing from council today, quite frankly, is not what I heard on May the 13th. And I didn't leave out of here angry, I left out of here infuriated. And I'm gonna fight back because it felt like deja vu all over again. Old pal up. So I brought forward the amendment. I'm not married to the amendment. And I know that there's a new library that I've been begging for 9.5 years that's on the table. And I want that for the exact same reason as set forth in my little presentation. But what I'm hearing today is not what I felt and heard on May the 13th. And second, I don't think it's happenstance, but I got a high poverty middle school with a 42% suspension rate. And I'm sitting in the highest crime area in the county, in my parks. And I begged the previous county executive, don't fix up my parks, because they're selling drugs and getting high in the parks every day. Kids can't use the park. You don't have enough cops to police them. Well, he did what he wanted to do. He put new playground material in Oakmont Park. The drug boys burned it up in the middle of the night. And so forth and so on. So my request and all I'm looking for is relief on both ends. And if you don't fix the education problem, you're gonna continue to have the crime problem. And still most of those kids are just kids. And if you give them opportunities and you direct them and you motivate them, they will be inclined to do the right things as opposed to the wrong things. So I'm not married to the amendment. What I was married to was picking a fight, getting in the fight, and to the extent practical if I could win the fight, at least maintaining the current funding for PAL. If indeed that's going to be accomplished, then, you know, I'm not married to the amendment as presented. So,
any Mr. Smiley.
I just want to apologize to Councilman Street for not disagreeing more and give you a stronger fight. I hate that you spelled all that energy for nothing, but maybe next time.
What can I say? Anybody else? Any public comment? Anything else under other than come back and see us soon and give us more good news? Anything, any other public comment?
Motion adjourned.
Yes. Oh.
All those in favor? Oh, wait a minute. Did somebody have something to say? Please.
Ed Piekowski with PAL, and I agree 100% with Councilman Kirkpatrick. The only problem looking at it from a legal point of view as the unofficial attorney, why have an agreement that is good and ready to be signed and reverts back to an old agreement that was troublesome?
Yeah.
If we exclude the last sentence of paragraph 7, it solves the whole problem, whether after 60 months this renews on a monthly basis or whatever. But I don't want to go back to that old agreement. We got a new one here that's good. So that's the only trouble I have.
We should be able to do a floor amendment on that, I think.
Yeah. I just want to say that's what the non-attorney suggested 2 weeks ago.
Thank you.
Now I know why I didn't waste my money on law school.
I'll go right to Councilman Hollins, who's got his hand up.
He told me to say it.
I think at least we should consult with the administration about deleting this language, because it was put in there by someone.
Yeah.
We didn't put it in, but we have a problem with it, so at least we can consult to say if we're going to take this out.
And Mr. McDonald.
There's public comment.
Okay. If he says we can take it out, and the administration says we can take it out, I'm flexible on that. Mr. McDonald. Mr. Pepperkai. Somebody.
I apologize. I was trying to read another document.
Okay.
So I was trying to pick up the language exactly that you were referring to, and I didn't pick that up.
Okay.
Maybe he can tell me.
Yeah, Mr. Piekowski, I think, has pulled it together.
I try to stay out of legal stuff. Because it keeps me out of legal stuff.
The ordinance that we passed 2 years ago had the exact same
language. Yeah, so
I think they just copied it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and not that happens. I haven't researched this, but I'm assuming when this language was put in, it probably meant the agreement immediately before the one in this.
Exactly. You don't want that.
And not the original.
But we don't want either.
Yeah. But you're just saying you have problems with this thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I could definitely, you know, convey that and see if we can get that taken out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just do a floor amendment.
Four on a month, the month.
No, just do a floor amendment and delete that.
That
be done.
Yeah.
You can do a month to month when you negotiate the next one.
Okay, so to sum this up, it looks like we could remove that sentence. Yes, Mr. Street.
I just want to make it clear that the importance of this, because at the end of the day, it's still the funding for PAL on the line. So, I mean, it needs to be clarified.
Sure.
Before tonight.
Right.
Before we vote on it tonight.
Mr. McDonald.
I will contact you within a half an hour after this meeting. We'll get it resolved, and I'll have it fixed by meeting.
We'll all be here.
Waiting.
We will. He's got the next meeting. Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Smiley.
Yeah, I think I have a motion to adjourn laying on the table.
I know.
And I have a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Thank you, Mr. Pickett. We'll get this together here.